It never rained, but it pours for the African National Congress. From one scandal to the other, the ANC just appears to embrace controversy. The governing party last week dispatched a delegation led by ANC Secretary General Ace Magashule to Zimbabwe in pursuit of a political solution to an economic and political crisis plaguing our neighboring country. But true to form, despite the trip being party political in nature, the delegation made use of a taxpayer-funded Air Force jet. But thanks to public outrage over the daring abuse of state power, the ANC was forced to concede that using state resources for party political affairs is unacceptable. They went from being typical stubborn, borderline arrogant selves to eating a very huge humble pie.
Once that board of bait breach in Zimbabwe collapses and everybody can decide, people are going to blame us as the ANC for having done nothing. But equally, for taking the lead and being preemptive, we are still being blamed. So I think there's nothing wrong that we have breached to pick up a lift, because we're doing that not for personal gain, but for national interest.
That was ANC National Executive Committee member Dakota Dikgwete speaking to ANCA last week Friday. But 5 days later, the ANC made a dramatic U-turn.
In our quest to achieve this mission, we traveled in an unusual manner and profusely humble ourselves where we went wrong during the lockdown, and will reimburse the government for the cost incurred on behalf of our delegation. Our delegation is under quarantine in line with our lockdown regulations.
That is ANC National Spokesperson Bure Mabe, somewhat admitting that the ANC is guilty as charged. Welcome to the Sunday Times Politic Weekly podcast.
Man, this aircon is racist.
I've never ever been a spy.
Can the DBS bank loot?
The problem is that pinky.
I'll never subject myself to white men.
Order!
I'm listening.
Can you have consistency, Honorable Chair?
Corruption was an Olympic sport. They will always win gold.
This is not a shit.
Can you please come
on
in?
On the point of order.
My name is Mawande Mashabalala, a political journalist for the Sunday Times. As always, I'm not alone today. I'm joined once again, as was the case last week, by Sunday Times political correspondent based in Parliament in Cape Town, Sisandisiwe Maginana, as well as political journalist here in Johannesburg, Apiwe de Klerk, with me here in studio. Apiwe, how are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm very well. You must say put up here.
Hey, Chief, stop those things. Yeah. Yeah. Since Andy, does the ANC, I mean, we've listened, of course, to these two clips of Dakota Dikgwete and Bule Mabe. Does the ANC know what is wrong and what is right when one looks at the controversy emanating from this trip to Zimbabwe, says Ansi?
Hi, Mawande. The ANC's arrogance will be their downfall. They certainly know what is right. They do know what is wrong. Otherwise, if they didn't know what they had done was wrong, when it was pointed out to them the first day, they would have seen their wrong ways, right? But they tried. They tried to spin it. They tried to convince all of us that we're all wrong, seeing things. Maybe we didn't understand the lines between the party and the state. But South Africans were not relenting. The media, the opposition, the general public. So the ANC found itself in a corner, and hence it came out 5 days later with that. I don't know if it's really an apology, but thing here, the problem here is that we've got this governing party which is arrogant. And because, come on, Mawande, if you and I do wrong, when somebody points out the wrongdoing, we take a step back. You know what I mean? Even if we don't immediately admit to wrongdoing, we take a step back to acknowledge or to maybe relook what we have done. But with them, especially Dakota's comments, they make me so angry, because he says, had they not gone to Zimbabwe, they would have been blamed. Where there is a situation where people start pouring into South Africa as if that is new. But on the one hand, he does acknowledge that there is a crisis in Zimbabwe and it may spill over to South Africa, right? So he says that's why they went. But on the other hand, when they came back, did they say there was a crisis in Zimbabwe? Or they said there's no crisis in Zimbabwe? So in this whole thing, he actually contradicts himself and the ANC, because he made it out that they had to go because of the situation that is so bad, it may affect South Africa, and it makes it sound so urgent. And yet they went to Zimbabwe. What did they say when they came back? You know what I mean? So you get a feeling that we are being disrespected as citizens and we are treated like fools. And really, it was, first of all, it was, this happened at a time where the ANC's own NEC doesn't meet physically. They've been holding their meetings virtually. The president and parliament, the president and the cabinet, no one flies around. So I'm also wondering, why do they have to go to Zimbabwe? You know, they find themselves in this trouble that they could have avoided by doing what even the United Nations is doing. Everyone is meeting virtually. So why do the ANC really have to go to Zimbabwe?
Yeah. Now, this is not the first time, Apiwe, that the ANC or individual leaders of its government have really blurred the line between the state and party. I mean, who can forget how friends of former ANC President Jacob Zuma, the notorious Gupta family, landed a private jet at the Waterkloof Air Force Base, a national key point at that. I mean, just last week at the State Capture Commission of Inquiry, we had evidence from former ESCOM board chairperson Zola Tsotsi that the power utility and another state-owned company, the SABC, used to sponsor ANC events with public money. And now we have this Zim gate that we are talking about. Political analyst Ralph Matega says it is shocking for a political party like the ANC, which has been in power for so many years, to persist with what I may simply call schoolboy errors.
Still shocks me that 25 years into government, the ANC still need to be taught the basic principles of separating the party from the state, which I think it is the issue at play here. It's not just about the money, it is the principles as far as I can see.
Absolutely. Is it even possible for one to be shocked anymore by these constant blunders by the governing party?
No. You can't be shocked. We hear and see time and again during the campaigns for either national government elections or local government elections where resources of municipalities are used to transport people to ANC rallies. It's not just a thing of they really think that the state is the ANC. To them, it's and they are not even worried about it. It's been going on for so long. You must look at a number of provinces and regions where you find a state sponsored event. Where you find someone who's an official of the ANC, a secretary of a province, a secretary of a region, being part of the program and being introduced to go and address the same program that it was paid for, is an idea of a state institution. And then you ask yourself, but on what basis is this one addressing? So for them, it's in them. That is why then President Jacob Zuma said it's ANC first. There's no South Africa without ANC. To them, it seemingly is in their DNA, even post the Zuma era, because for the life of me, how are you a Luthuli House official or an NEC official walking into SANDF jet and not asking, but comrades, how are we getting a lift from an SANDF flight? Like, I'm not an elected official. Okay, of course I'm a journalist. I'm paid to ask such questions and know those. But normal people on social media were shocked. A lot of them, when they saw Ace Magashule coming out of a jet sponsored by the SANDF, were shocked. Everyone was shocked. What is this?
Yeah.
So you mean to tell me you are in the governing party on the day-to-day basis of the running of the governing party there in Luthuli House? You don't know you are not supposed to just walk into an ADF flight without being given a proper reasoning about that. And you come back seeing nothing wrong about it.
Mm.
Because they ask Itzwa Khashule, and he was bold in his saying, no, they didn't do anything. They didn't abuse state resources. So why was he having a free flight?
Yeah.
A free ride on a minister's car, obviously it's a use of state resources.
Yes.
Whether you want to agree with it or not. If a minister would, if I'm a colleague of Minister Mbalula, for instance, and he gives me a lift from here to Free State, I use state resources. How much more for a flight? I don't get these people, or rather, they don't get that there has to be a distinction. And I think maybe we need to look at it in that manner, that at grassroots level, it is as such that ANC events and state-sponsored events they are blurred lines. It's as if it's the same thing.
Yeah. Now, central to this public discourse that ensued over the Stangal was whether or not President of the ANC and the country, Cyril Ramaphosa, who, by the way, was the one who first announced this trip 2 weeks ago that the ANC was going to embark on, whether or not he knew about the use of the Air Force jet by his ANC comrades. This was further exacerbated by Ramaphosa's request for a report on the matter from Minister of Defense, Nosiviwe Mapisa Ngqokula, which, by the way, also happened only after the whole saga became a political hot potato. One EFF leader, Julius Malema, believes Ramaphosa is not genuine.
He's acting. He's acting. I think he must get a role in Muvango or something. He's acting. There's nothing. The man said to us he does not have the power to discipline ministers. So he wants a report to do what with it? After getting a report, what is he going to do with it? Because he said he doesn't have a power to discipline ministers when he was asked to discipline Minister Godan. Unless there are rules for Godan and there are rules for others. Since he doesn't have any power to discipline ministers, let him go on with business as usual. The only solution here is that the ANC must pay for the plane, and then we focus on resolving the Zimbabwean problem.
Sis Andy, the question, the big question here for me is, for how long will President Ramaphosa continue to plead ignorance about things that literally happen under his nose? Sis Andy.
Look, Mawande, I partly agree with Julius, because the president, as you say, in his other role as the president of the ANC, is the person who announced that the ANC would be going, an ANC delegation would be going to Zimbabwe over Zimbabwe issues. At the same time, when this news broke last week of this use of this SANDF aircraft, a lot of people called on the president to say something and to do something and to give the answers. So I think it's justified for the president to issue that statement saying the minister must tell him what happened, how did ANC officials end up traveling in a state aircraft, right? So I think that call was justified. But the president himself does have a lot of questions to answer. Because he should have known, man. There's no way that he didn't know. When they were making decisions and resolutions to send a delegation to Zimbabwe, when he himself has not been traveling to the AU, to the SADC, he's been doing all those, because now he's the chair of the AU, he should have known that there must have been then a plan that must be rolled out to get these people to Zimbabwe. So I think himself has answers that he owes the Republic. But I also want to say, this is where strong institutions like Parliament come in. If we have a strong Parliament has to hold not just the Defence Minister to account, the President must answer these questions to account. He must answer these questions to Parliament. He has to account for what he knew about this whole trip. about the use of the state resources, the president owes us an explanation as South Africans. So I wish Parliament will, unfortunately it happened at a time when Parliament is in recess, but I really can't wait to see what's going to happen as soon as Parliament resumes.
Mm. Now, Apiwe, can South Africans expect anything tangible to come out of the report by Minister Mapisa Ngqakula? In fact, I mean, to perhaps add to the question, is the commissioning of such a report by an implicated party, the ANC-led government, be it Minister Ngqakula herself or the president himself, not some cover-up to hoodwink South Africans who have clearly had enough of ANC shenanigans?
Do I trust that the report would lead us to something that is tangible or fruitful?
Yes.
No, I don't trust that. No, you know, fool me once.
Yeah.
Fool me once with the ANC. Fool me once. Look. Okay, I get that maybe at the ANC level, he would have thought that the party has enough resources to charter a flight for itself.
Mm.
Right? I get that. But, so Minister Lindiwe Zulu then applies that she's part of the delegation of the ANC, isn't it?
Mm.
The ANC said itself that the Minister of Defense was part of that delegation.
Mm.
So, as a state president, you look and say, but so if you, Minister Zulu, are applying, and the only reason, because ministers have to apply to the president in order to leave the country,
yes,
state the reasons why, and then be granted permission.
Mm.
The other one now applies and says, I'm on official business. The other one says, no, I'm on ANC business.
Mm.
But we are going to the same destination.
Mm.
So those questions, they were there in his head.
Mm.
So didn't he think to ask, but if you have a private state business that you are going to conduct, but there are your colleagues there in the ANC, in order for us as the state to save money because our coffers are running dry,
mm,
can't you just be part of those ones?
Yeah. The ANC.
That's where you would have known that, in fact, it's those ones of the ANC who are joining her.
Yeah.
Because she was part of the ANC delegation as well.
Yes.
So you could have said, while doing the business that you are doing, because even though she would have taken a flight privately,
mm,
when she gets there as a minister, she gets provided or afforded all the protocols and whatnot,
yes,
by the embassy. So
yes,
you don't necessarily need to be traveling under or using state resources,
yes,
for you to at some point decide to have such meetings.
Mm.
So I don't understand when the president is asking for a report.
Mm.
You have a minister who's applying. Why don't you ask Lindiwe Zulu? Okay, minister, I get that you are living with the ANC. I'm not that worried. I don't mind. But what are you going to use in terms of transportation? Because we've closed the borders.
Mm. Exactly.
And he chairs the cabinet that approves those regulations,
yeah,
to close the borders.
Yeah.
In fact, even at the level of the ANC, didn't he think to ask my comrade or colleague secretary general, because they are, you know, senior officials of the ANC, but comrades, what are you going to use to get to Zimbabwe because there are no flights? Did he think they were going to drive?
He knew. You see, the questions that you're asking reveal one thing to us, that he knew what was happening.
If I may add my one day, going back to Julius Malema's comments that the president is acting, which I find hilarious. But actually, he is indeed acting, because on Friday, he demands this report from Minister Ngqakula, and he gives a 48-hour deadline. And that gave us an impression that he takes this so seriously, that he says there's a need for this urgency and so on. And today is Wednesday. He has not come back to the nation. He got the report on Sunday already, and he hasn't said a word since he called. Because now that agency that he was portraying, it was just an act. It was not real, because he's sitting there with the report for 3 or 4 days. He hasn't said a word. But I also suspect the actions of the ANC, the statement that we saw on Tuesday, may have been seen a result of whatever is in that report. We know that the president, as an ANC president, meets with the rest of the NWC and the ANC officials on Mondays. I suspect the matter may have come up in those meetings, and there's probably no good enough explanation in the report, and hence we saw the ANC issuing that statement yesterday. But for the rest of the of the citizenry of South Africa, we still don't know any better than we did on Friday when the president acted as if this was an urgent matter.
The ANC and its government, from Polokwane to Nadelsreg, sort of made us accept that it is prone to scandals, but seemingly history is repeating itself. From Nadelsreg to whatever venue the ANC is going to convene its next conference in 2022. This is despite its current president, Mr. Ramaphosa, having campaigned on the card of ethical leadership, good governance, corruption-free state, dubbed the New Dawn. Now, Sis Andy, is this so-called New Dawn real or just another scam, looking at the scandals that have rocked the ANC ever since the New Dawn started in 2018?
No, I mean, if you look at what the difference between the New Dawn and the old regime is, the removal of Jacob Zuma. Otherwise, the people, the collective that was there during the so-called nine wasted years is the same people that are still here today. So Ramaphosa may have not been part of the first Zuma's administration, but he was there from 2014. He was part of the group of ANC MPs that voted for the Nkandla report that said a swimming pool is a fire pool. He was part of defending a whole range of issues, because all these things that we read about and we hear about in the State Capture Commission, some of them, when they come to Parliament, the AG raised some of these things. The media wrote about these things. The civil society raised these questions, and they would come to Parliament as motions from the opposition parties, and ANC would use its majority to shoot them down. And the people that were part of that shooting down included Cyril Ramaphosa, included Jackson Mutembu, included all these people that today are preaching a new dawn to us. So I think, as Apuesa fooled me once, but it's the same. It's the same grouping. It's the same organization, is the same systems, is the same games, and it's the same thing. They've proven themselves time and again that nothing has changed. Maybe their face at the top, but it's the same people.
Yeah. Now, not only did the ANC cross the thin line between the state, well, the thin but rather clear line between the state and the party, according to opposition parties and civil society, they may well have also breached lockdown regulations that forbid travel outside South African borders. Apuwe has already attended to that. I ask a question. Is our country Animal Farm, where ANC leaders are more equal than the rest of South Africans?
It seems like there's been no approval being sought or being granted. Furthermore, other South Africans that fly abroad back into South Africa must go into quarantine. That seems not to be applicable to the ANC. So there's a lot of integrity that has been compromised.
That was the DA Shadow Minister of Defense, Govers Marae. Well, thanks to the noise by the opposition, civil society and the broader South African public, we now know that ANC SG Ace Magashule and those that traveled with him to Zimbabwe are in quarantine, as we heard in the earlier clip by Bule Mabe. Still talking about opposition and civil society, Freedom Front Plus and AfriForum have lodged complaints with the Office of the Public Protector to dig deeper into the ANC trip to Zimbabwe. My question to you, Apiwe, are we now at a stage where the governing party will constantly have to be policed by opposition and independent institutions of the state, such as Chapter 9 institutions, to do what is right, what they ought to know? What level of moral and ethical decay are we dealing with here?
You know, I'm laughing because you talk about people being in quarantine.
Yeah.
On Saturday,
yes,
I spoke with a member of that delegation.
Yes.
the former minister and the former premier of Gauteng, Nomvula Mokonyane.
Yes.
Where she said to me, one of the reasons why we were ending the call after she answered the question was that she is at a shop.
Yes.
It says Dolo. That's what she said to
so
me. She was at a shop. I could hear the
noise.
The cashier.
Yes.
Or the person who was assisting her behind. And then she repeated subsequently that to me.
The joke is on us.
So when you say that now they're in quarantine for what?
Yes.
They were not in quarantine. What did they decide to go in quarantine when it started being pointed out that they were supposed to be in quarantine? Mm-hmm. Secondly, when they landed, they allowed reporters to go and interview them.
Mm.
And they were landing. So they were interacting with people, showing clearly there was no intention whatsoever to go into quarantine, because why do you quarantine? You quarantine just in case, in your interaction with the people that you were with, you may have conducted the virus. Therefore, for you not to spread it here in South Africa, you must be in isolation, or you must be isolated.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, these ones, they need a very strong Chapter 9 institutions and a very strong civil society.
Yes.
That is not going to be... You see, I always pray about these things that... I always pray we have a strong civil society that does not pick the good guys over the bad guys.
Yes.
In any party that finds itself in government, be it the ANC, be it the DA, which is in government in the Western Cape, but stand for principle. So we need a strong civil society that does not pick sides,
mm-hmm.
that holds everyone accountable with the same
energy.
And we need very strong Chapter 9 institutions that are going to be able, like in this instance, it's a pity what has been happening with that Office of the Public Protector.
Mm-hmm.
It does a disservice to our country,
mm-hmm.
because even itself has been found to be flip-flopping between the factions,
yes.
and not holding everyone to the same standard,
yes.
or trying to look like it's doing that,
mm.
whereas it's trying to push one agenda allegedly.
Yes.
So we need very strong Chapter 9 institutions, because clearly it seems old dawn, new dawn, Vaseline or no Vaseline, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
We need to make sure we don't sleep with these people. We keep them into account,
yeah.
because the day we sleep and not watch what they are doing, we'll wake up and it's going to be very late.
Yeah.
We learned with this thing of PPEs.
Yes.
Yes. I also helped with the story that we had on Sunday. And what stood out for me, I had to call public servants, the spokespersons of these ministers. For instance, the Defense Act requires that if a private citizen, somebody who's not a member of the SANDF or a minister of the SANDF, must apply to the Minister of Defense. And in making her decision, the Minister of Defense has to consult the Minister of Finance, right? So in making that decision to allow a private citizen to charter or to hop onto an SNDF aircraft, she has to make it in consultation with the Finance Minister. So now I had to go to the Finance Minister spokesperson. And shame, I feel for public servants, because this is clear. It's like law. It's drafted. It's straightforward. And then I ask a straightforward question. Was the finance minister consulted, and what was said to him, and what was his response? I think it's really simple. It took them about 24 hours to respond, and the response was to refer us to the presidency. So I just felt it compromises public servants. The same with the defense spokesperson, who I think is also... I don't know if I would say he's being sacrificed, or he may be, because he's been spinning this story about a lift. I think he's the first person who came terming this minister giving her colleagues a lift to Zimbabwe, which is hilarious because we never hear about someone getting a lift on an aircraft. But the same questions were put to him. I asked him, what did these people have required permission, you know, to leave the country under level 2? What did they bring to you when you allowed them? And he was giving this spin of these are difficult times, and they had to, because of the times that we are living in, they had to leave, and it was all special and so on, which is nonsense, because the law is the law. You don't decide on the spot, especially if you are going to be a spokesperson and say those things publicly. So I'm also interested to see what happens to people like him who were defending this thing before the ANC came up and said, we're going to pay. Because it was like this, you know, he was very dismissive in saying, no, it was Minister of Defense giving her colleagues or her comrades a lift to Zimbabwe because of the times we're living in. He was very dismissive in his media comments on this story. So I also feel when the ANC does these things, it always puts other people at risk. It compromises many other people's maybe futures, jobs, and integrity. And of course, it takes all of us down with them, because at the end of the day, it's South Africa's resources that are being spent, and we all lose. That money could have been spent elsewhere.
Abiwe, here's your final thought, my brother. Can the ANC be saved from the sins of incumbency, or is it just a case of a skorokoro that is broken beyond repair?
it's a proper skorokoro, Mawande, and I don't know. I don't think they can be saved. I think that culture I was talking about, that from grassroots, from ordinary branch members of the ANC, the way they think of the state and what its role is and how they think they are supposed to act, it's flawed from bottom. So when you're saying you want to build the party, rebuild it from bottom up, go back to bases, they are flawed there at the bases. I don't see them being saved. Maybe they can try and do better, but for me, so far, it's been about PR in trying to renew the party, and less about real, tangible actions. And there was a podcast where we discussed the ANC taking action and whatnot. And you made mention of the fact that the state institutions are empowered to deal with these things, and that can give you a sanction whether you are being disciplined at a level of a state, whether you are found to have done wrong at the level of the public protector or the law enforcement officials, be it SIU, be it, have to take up these matters to court. I think the only thing that can save us is that. And whether the ANC has an appetite to strengthen those institutions, given what seemingly is a flaw in their DNA and their thinking and their relationship with the state resources, I'm not sure.
Well, unfortunately, we could talk and talk until the cows come home, but that's all we have time for. Thank you very much, colleagues in the Sunday Times politics team, Apiwe de Klerk and Andisiwe Maginana. But the ANC must really stop taking us for fools or children or their playground, where they can just kick the ball around with muddy shoes and do all sorts of things that they are doing. They've been acting with impunity. You'd remember in the funeral of Babu Andrew Mlangeni, despite other families of people who would have loved to have a lot of their friends and relatives in their funerals, but were barred because of the rules that are made by ANC leaders who sit in the National Coronavirus Command Council. The ANC was allowed to have as many people as you can count, way more than the restriction of the lockdown. They got away with it. They have been looting personal protective equipment, money, in terms of the tender system that is flawed within the ANC-led government. To this day, not a single head has rolled in that regard. They got away with it. If they get away with this one again, this is just events that happened in the space of 2 months, and I think enough is enough. South Africans must really rise and really tell the ANC what it ought to hear. It's either they fix their house to be in order, or they ship out and we find a better alternative going forward as South Africans. My name is Mawande Amashabalala. Thank you very much for joining us. Until next week, bye-bye.